powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it is 710 ESPN Seattle Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. Shannon's newest article, Will This Mariners Homestand Be Where They Turned the Corner, is up on 710sports.com. Go check it out. Make sure you do that today. Shannon, it's a wonderful piece. I read it a bit earlier, right before our show. And I gotta say, there's a lot in here to be excited about. And then also, of course, you're a very measured person, a very pragmatic person. You do a good job of reminding us where this team is in their rebuild. So I'll just ask you plainly, what did you take from this four-game series?
Well, it's not just the four-game series. It's what we have seen since Sunday in Cleveland. And I know that's an awfully small snapshot, and that's why I think I walked back. You know, long story short, I lost my mind on the post-game show Saturday night and declared that they had turned the corner. Then I thought better of that. But, you know, it was really kind of an interesting experience to watch them all last week, and this was more on emotion. But then looking at some numbers and kind of looking at history and how things have gone before and what we have seen this year, to me, it just seemed that what we were watching in front of us was different. And I think that if you look at what the first 2 months of the season, it was a roller coaster. It was an extreme roller coaster, and there was a lot of good in that they bounced back as many times as they bounced back. But ultimately, you want some consistency in there. That's what this year is all about. And I think that this time we saw the bounce back, and I think there's the potential that we have started to see the start of that consistency. And it will be, you know, another 3.5 month process to see if they really get to where they need to be at the end of September. And that's, you need to have questions about individuals answered, and you need to have a team that's playing good baseball together. And we saw a team that was playing good baseball together last week. So that for me was incredibly encouraging when you took into account that I think you could look at what the hitters were doing and say, hey, there is a very definite approach that they are following right now. Changes night to night, pitcher to pitcher, but we hadn't seen that on a consistent basis before, I think, this year, not in a long stretch like that. Yusei Kikuchi is emerging as a possible top of the rotation type pitcher. Again, I say possible. Let's go ahead and wait and see what he does for the next 3 months. You like what you've seen from Logan Gilbert. J.P. Crawford, I think what we are seeing from him is real. He's got enough plate appearances under his belt. You talk with him. You know what he's trying to do out there. You've seen the different things that he has tried over the last few years. And I think just along those lines, you feel good about that. Those are some answers that I think that we are coming up with right now. And to me, I think that all of a sudden that if you start seeing kind of less of the turbulence and less of the highs and the lows, they are on the right path.
In terms of JP, you talk about the things that he's tried to change or the approaches that he has tried to bring to the table. Why is this one in particular working so well for him?
Because it's who he is. And I think like a lot of young players, I think that he was, kind of set on some different paths. I think that some of the paths that he was taking, he put himself on. And you look at JP, and there were many times, it's not all the Mariners. I think he heard this before he even got to the Mariners. But you look at what he is and the kind of athlete he is. And we heard so many times at the end of the seasons, well, he could stand to put on a little bit more weight. He could stand to get a little bit stronger. And I think that in this day and age, you know, it was all about the home runs. JP himself got wrapped up in that. I remember sitting down with him at his locker in spring training, his first year that he came over in the trade, and he talked about that he had gone to the mountaintop. He had went and worked with Craig Wallenbrock, who is pretty much the father of the launch revolution. And you look at him now and think, why would he do that? He can do so many other things. And he is a gap-to-gap hitter that is going to pop some occasional power when everything is going right. He has got a great eye at the plate. He has a good ability to get on base. He doesn't strike out a lot. You know, build off of that. And I think that he realized that. And so what I think we're seeing right now is a player who understands what he is, who is comfortable with what he is, and he is thriving.
Shannon, you had obviously four pitchers with kind of four different experiences, mostly good for the Mariners, starting pitchers for this series. I know Kikuchi seems like the obvious answer, but when you look at each one of these guys, whether, Dunn obviously had to exit early, so maybe that was more of a testament to the bullpen. Then, of course, you had Kikuchi, you had Gilbert. I mean, what do you take away in terms of just specifically the starting rotation when it comes to this series?
When it comes to this series, you know, they came through. You saw the emergence of Kikuchi. I think watching Marco in every start back from the IL has been so important because he was shaky before he got hurt. And when he came back from the IL, he was careful in kind of the progression that he was coming back. We saw him get hit around a little. You want to see him get back to what he was in 2020. You want to see him get back to what he was in 2019. And I think it's a little tough for him because I think that he just kind of reinvents himself a little bit each year. And now that was disrupted. He had the tough start that he didn't see coming. He had the injury and now he's coming back. But I think that you are seeing now that he was able to regain the command for the most part with his fastball. You didn't see it was working off of the sinker. You didn't see as much of the cutter, and I would like to see that come back. It's a weapon for him, but we've seen an improved curveball. So, you know, how is he going to use this? And I think that what we saw from him in his last outing yesterday, I think that was huge in that not only did we see it, I think he saw it, and so he can kind of pick up and keep on keeping on there, which is what you want from him. Chris Flexen has been so interesting when you watch him. I think at the worst, he can keep you in a game. He's a bulldog. He's a battler. And at his best, he can be brilliant. I don't know how often he's going to pop a result like we saw his last time out, but if he can give you three or four runs, hey, or hold them to three or four runs, all of a sudden we're seeing the offense being able to score a little bit more. And you need that guy in the rotation. Justice Sheffield is the question mark right here, right now. Justin Dunn is the question mark right now as far as health goes. And those are big question marks because you've still got a ways to go before you get to the Emerson Hancocks and the George Kirbys. There's going to be a gap there. You need those guys to come through, and we haven't seen that as yet. Sheffield has struggled throughout the season, and Dunn, now you're wondering about kind of the durability.
Shan, you talk about the consistency and there being more of it. Guys like Jake Bowers and surprisingly Shed Long Jr. are part of that reason. How big have those additions to this lineup been for this group?
Well, I think the big thing for it is that they have stepped in and they've not tried to do too much. And, you know, it's a huge opportunity for both players. Shed Long Jr. was given an opportunity last year and he lost it. He lost that spot to Dylan Moore. And the question was what we saw when he was struggling basically the entire, you know, first month and a half until he left with the injury, was that because he was hurt? And now what we're seeing is a little bit more of what we saw when he first came up the previous year and a little bit more of what we've heard about him in that, you know, he can hit. This is a guy that, again, can use most of the field, has some surprising pop in that bat, and has hit at every level. So he's getting that opportunity to get that longer look, and that has been important to what we have seen. Obviously, fresh start for Jake Bowers coming over. And you look at his numbers, and they're a little bit more based on luck right now, but sometimes the ball does have to bounce your way. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see how he handles things going forward. But you don't see a guy that's pressing. And when there you see where he is at in his career, he is a former highly regarded prospect who was DFA'd for his team, still just 25 years old. It would be easy to come over and press, and I don't think we're seeing that from him. So I think he's looking around and not thinking I've got to be the guy or I've got to show something now, but has been somebody who has been able to get into the approach that they are taking that night, hand the at-bat off to the next guy, and go from there.
Shannon, what's the latest with Ty France? That news didn't sound super encouraging post-game.
Yeah, we're not going to know until we talk to them. I was actually in the camera well waiting to do a walk-off interview and saw it pretty up close. And that first swing, he turned around and was wincing like you wouldn't believe. And you could tell that swing, the wrist bothered him. And then throughout the at-bat, just kind of grasping and clenching his hand throughout it. And then, of course, you saw what happened after the last swing. I did talk to him on the field. He was that walk-off interview. He didn't seem to be bothered by anything. He was still out there, so I am hopeful that that was an indication that that was just something that he has been dealing with. When he came back, he was given a couple of weeks to rest that bone bruise. He did say that it does still occasionally bother him. Hopefully, this is just one of those occasions, not anything extraordinary, but it's very telling that they're sending him for an MRI. So the team, apparently, and Scott Service admitted they are concerned about it.
Shannon, your heart is telling you that in the moment that the team, these were signs that they were turning the corner. Your brain thought better of itself. Hold back a little bit. But in terms of what they do over the next week, the next 2 weeks, when are we going to know that this series was maybe indeed that turnaround moment?
Oh, I think, you know, get past the All-Star break. I mean, if they're strong going into the All-Star break, that is, I think, a fantastic sign. And then they get that chance to kind of regroup, refresh, and perhaps we see a little bit more of, I think that something that we have seen in all of this is that one advantage that they have is that they are young. They do have a lot of energy. They're going to tucker out as they get toward the end of the season. There's a lot of stress and a lot of strain, and physically it's different than a minor league season. But I think coming back out of that All-Star break, if they're playing good baseball then, if they are on the same page with the approaches, and if you are seeing the individuals that you need to continue to see kind of take those steps forward, I think that we're probably getting there. I mean, watch to see, you know, the starting pitching performances. They were kind of the unpleasant surprise of this season. That was something that the Mariners thought they would lean on early, and that's kind of been the suspect area of the club. See what they are coming out of the break. Look, you know, do they look like they're in mid-season form? Has all of the rust been knocked off? Have they worked out everything? And then watch to see if they are playing error-free baseball on the whole, if they are running a little bit more, and, you know, if they kind of continue with the success that they have had with these one-run leads. I think that it's going to take a little while to say that for sure if this was it. But for me, the big case will be we're not taking that deep breath every other week. You know, we're not thinking to ourselves, okay, they can't take another hit or that was it. And we've really been doing that for the better part of the first 2 months of the season. I mean, how many times have you thrown your hands up in the air and said, they're done, that's it, you know? But they bounce right back. The good news is they bounce right back, but you're looking for the consistency. And I don't think to this point we have seen that established. I think we are starting to see it. The potential is that we are starting to see it right now.
Yeah, I'm really, really hoping that we see that moving forward, Shannon. And I'm rooting and pulling for them also because of the idea that, as I brought this up earlier, Shannon, I'd love to get your take on this, is it would be ideal to be able to have this organization, have this club, you know, rolling and playing well and playing more established as you reinsert a guy like Jared Kelnick, as you bring up a Cal Raleigh, Evan White comes back, Jerry DePoto kind of alluding to that idea that you're going to see those guys with the club at some point after the All-Star break. How big of a difference is that when those young guys are coming up in that environment versus the first time around when Kelnick came up when the lineup was really struggling?
It can be huge. I think these two players know the team very well. They've spent a lot of time with these guys. Even Kelnick, you know, all of spring training. So he's done that. But I think the biggest thing with him is coming up and not putting too much pressure on himself. He does not have to be the guy. And that's on him to tell himself that. He wants to be the guy, and I think we all want him to be the guy at some point, but allow yourself to get into it. It's not easy. As far as Evan White goes, you don't want to see him pressing when he comes up, because now when he comes up, it's going to be coming off of a tough with the bat first season. It was 2 months, but it was still tough. Did not get off to a good start this year, as now will have lost probably almost 2 months by the time he gets back. So you don't want him pressing thinking, I've got to do it now. And I think that the more that is good that is going on around the club, that's going to take the pressure off of those guys. And if they have watched, and I know they have, what has been going on this week, I think you get that idea that, you know, this is a team. It doesn't have to be one person. It doesn't have to be lean all on, you know, this guy, not even the veterans. I mean, everybody, you know, if they are pulling in the same direction, that's the ultimate goal. And I think that with the younger guys coming up to that, anytime a team is winning and is on that path, it is better for them.
Is there any kind of approach that Evan White can make at the plate where he can see similar success to... So J.P. Crawford, we were talking to Gary Hill about this, and I know that Bumpus and Danny were talking about it earlier, that idea of, well, what if Evan White kind of adopts the kind of change that J.P. Crawford has made at the plate that he's seen success with? Is there that kind of adjustment that White would be able to make kind of as he heads into the second half of the season?
It's going to be interesting to see what he did, because he's made a couple of changes throughout his career, with the most significant coming before 2019. And he had a very good year with what he had done with his swing at 2019. And also, kind of jump beyond some labels. There was, he wasn't really thought to be much of a power guy before then. He was more, he was a good hitter, and he was more of a doubles guy, and of course known for the glove. But he did. He did get a little bit more launch into his swing, and I don't know why you wouldn't do that with him, because there aren't many who hit the ball harder than Evan White. So he did make some changes in his swing, some minor changes in the off season, and then he went and changed them again in spring training when he wasn't getting the results with them. So I think one of the biggest things for him is, and I'm sure that this will happen and is happening right now, he's on the rehab assignment, but he's been pulled back because he needs a little bit of a break with the injury, is that while you are down and you are on that rehab assignment, you establish, okay, what are we doing here? Which swing am I going back to what I did in 2019? And stick with it. And realize that everything that J.P. Crawford is doing right now was done with 1,100 plate appearances at the big league level behind him. So don't try and be J.P. Crawford. Just try and figure out what you are and get yourself to that starting point, what you trust the most in what you do, and go there. I'm hoping that on the rehab assignment, he does get the bat going. He does have some success. And then, again, to come in, not put that pressure on you. You are going to have a couple of months, but settle on one thing and go from there.
Now, Shannon, the other question that I have for you is, you look at the bullpen for the Mariners. They have been able to sustain really their success, and that was something that we were wondering if it was going to fall off at some point in time, and it really hasn't. And actually, you saw two really encouraging outings from Rafael Montero, not so much so where Curtis Rogers is ready to get off Montero's back a little bit, Shannon.
He's not ready,
but,
Shannon.
But it was very encouraging to see.
It was encouraging to see, and I think that the most important thing here that we have learned about this bullpen throughout all of this, and this is where, you know, this is why they are where they are right now, and it wasn't just a two-week thing when they were shining, is that there are multiple arms that Scott Service can trust and go to. And if Montero can work his way into that, it's a different situation. You go back to the beginning of the year, and it was, okay, Rafael Montero, you are the closer. Well, I'm not even, this team doesn't really need a closer. It needs leverage arms. And so I think that you can take that label away. And what we have learned, with Kendall Graveman was out and others have been out, is that others can pick up and take over those situations. And they have more than one that can do that, which is huge. And that's, you know, that helps with winning streaks, because your top bullpen guy is not going to be able to go every night. So in the process, we have learned that, yeah, you can put Drew Steckenrider in at the end of the game. He's had success with that, not just this year. He's done it in the past. He is pitching well right now. Paul Sewald, another veteran who has come here to try and find a second life, is finding a second life, has become one of those trusted arms, was instrumental in what we saw in the series against Tampa. Montero, I'm hoping we'll say the same for him, because he certainly was for two games. And for two games, we did see something. Pitch usage was a little bit different too, and I think that that helped. And I think we saw his best fastball of the year last night. If he is getting into that, if that is something that he can hang on to, you're going to feel better about that. Eric Swanson is coming back. We only got a brief look, but it was tantalizing. That was the best Eric Swanson we have seen since he came over to the club. So I think that that is the most important thing, that it's not just like with the lineup. You don't want it all to be relying on one thing. It's a little bit, it's a little bit less common for a bullpen to be that way, but they have so many arms that Scott Service can go to right now. And, you know, that's a development thing. That is, when they go after these arms, they go after them for a reason. They're not household names, but the analysts break them down. They find what they're good at. They sit them down. They convince them that this is what you're good at. Do it more. Throw this pitch more. And they then just ask them to throw strikes. And there has been huge buy-in. And you don't see these relievers coming in and nitpicking. You do see them with different percentages. Like JT Chagrois is throwing his slider 25% more than he's ever thrown it in his life. He's throwing it 75% of the time right now. This is a guy, when he was drafted, had a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. You know what? Your slider's better. Throw that. Mm-hmm. They figure those things out, and it's proving to be effective. The buy-in is there. And hopefully that takes a little bit of the pressure off somebody like Montero, and he can get to his best stuff as a result.
Shannon, last question for us here. MLB going to be officially instituting that crackdown on the use of foreign substances for pitchers starting today. What could be kind of the next step that fans see when they're out at ballparks? Is it guys, you know, going up to check these guys between every inning? I mean, what's it going to look like as it plays out?
I'm not sure. I mean, from everything I've read, the umpires are going to be asked to check starters multiple times throughout a game. Is that when they're walking off the,
right.
which I think would be disconcerting for some of these guys. You're walking off after an inning. Hang on. Hold on. Let's see that cap. Arms up. You know, it's just, I don't know what that's going to look like. I hope it's not as ridiculous as it sounds. I hope it is something that, you know, obviously doesn't slow down the game very much. One of the things I'm interested to see is there has been kind of an unwritten rule in baseball that managers don't ask for the check, and that's because everybody knew that somebody on the other side was doing something, so they didn't do that. You can't if somebody on your side is doing it. Now, you know, there have been some surveys, and some managers apparently off the record have said, yeah, we are going to ask for it. So I'm going to be interested to see if we see that. And then the next evolution, and the players are calling for this, and I hope they get to it. They do come up with a different, you know, a universal substance that they can all use, or another suggestion has been to use the Japanese ball. I'm really interested to see, because we haven't heard this rule will be changing. This isn't it. There will be more as the season goes on.
Certainly one of the more fascinating stories in baseball this year, kind of flowing under the radar initially. And now we're all kind of seeing how it's going to unfold. She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher. Her newest piece is up at 710sports.com. Make sure you go check it out. Shannon, a pleasure as always to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Shannon.
See ya. All right. And tomorrow, of course, Shannon going to be joining us for the Scott Service Show. That's going to be tomorrow. The Skip joining us. We'll get an update on all of these guys. Coming up next, the hero of the weekend with his walk-off grand slam, Shed Long, going to be joining us on the Jake and Stacey Show. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Shed Long Jr. has a chance to win this one in 10 for the Mariners. Castillo sets, fires. Swing out to right field. This is on its way back, and it's gone! Walk off home run! You did it, Shed Long Jr. It's a walk-off slam. What a moment! The Mariners can't do anything but walk off the Rays.
Now, hear me out, Jake. Mariners should play the Rays for every series. Something to consider.
Play the best team in baseball every single time.
I think that that's worked out wonders for them. Play like an ace. Get Shane Bieber out there.
That's right.
It's going to be fantastic.
That's when this team responds the most.
Now, the real question is, I was thinking last night, a walk-off grand slam in extras with, correct me if I'm wrong, two outs? Is there anything cooler? Like, where does that rank in terms of great moments? Because you obviously saw over the weekend, KD make that shot to potentially, I don't know if that was the shot, another missed shot helped send it into overtime there between the Jets or the Nets. The Jets. Oh, I'm already getting confused over there. For Brooklyn, they didn't end up pulling it out. It was a bummer. I was rooting for them. Instead, it's the Bucks heading on. But still, that was pretty clutch. I don't know if that's as clutch a moment, though, as a walk-off grand slam in extras.
There are key moments, right? When you're a kid in the backyard and you're playing and you're visualizing certain moments, you're talking about hitting the buzzer beater shot the last second, catching the winning pass or throwing the winning touchdown pass. And then in baseball, striking the guy out or hitting the home run, the walk-off hit, to win the game. And Shed Long doing it in the biggest way possible. Two outs, grand slam, walk off. I mean, it's one of the most special moments in all of baseball that you could ask for. So yeah, I mean, it ranks up at the tip top of moments that you could have as a player, special, meaningful moments.
I feel like the theme from the day essentially has been, we've been playing these kind of bumpers heading in and out of breaks of highlights, and it's all been so fun. And the series itself was so fun to watch. I feel like the big thing heading into today has been like, okay, what do I take from it though? Right? Like, what's a tangible thing that I take from the series? Because watching baseball as a baseball fan, especially good baseball or an exciting win or something that's just uncanny or unlikely, like three walk-offs in a four-game series, that's fun. It's fun. It's exciting. In some ways, it's unexpected. But what do you take from it when you're rebuilding? Because the Mariners are going to have some hard times. They are going to stumble. Do you take anything from it?
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely do. I mean, take it, for example, in the case of Shed Long, you know, this is a guy that there is a opening at the second base position. There's open opportunities when it comes to utility, and he's making the most of it.
And speaking of, Shed Long Jr. joins us right now. Shed, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're just reliving the highlight that you gave us from this series. I was thinking there may be no better way to end a game than a walk-off, not even like a walk-off single, not even a walk-off home run, Jed. It's a walk-off grand slam, runs that you guys didn't even need, and it still felt pretty good. I mean, when did you realize what happened?
When it happened. I mean, it was crazy. It was definitely a crazy moment. I mean, it was kind of a blur, but... yeah, I mean, I just had to soak in the moment as much as I could.
You know, Shed, you talk about soaking in the moment, and it's been, obviously, it's in an awesome, awesome moment at the big league level, but how good does it feel to have a moment like that after struggling, you know, the first time up a little bit, and then going through the process of having this injury that held you back from really competing for this club? I mean, how good does it feel to be back and playing the way that you are right now?
Man, it feels great. It feels great. You know, I worked hard to get back to this point. So, you know, just coming back and being able to perform at a high level, you know, it's always a good feeling to have. And just being able to help the team, you know, that's all I want to do. I just want to help the team win.
Now, Shed, it looks like the excitement's currently there. I mean, what's the vibe in the clubhouse right now? Because I got to say, I think especially coming from J.P. Crawford, but you've been a part of that too. There's like a fun excitement that feels young and exciting to see.
Oh, it's all good vibes, you know. I mean, everybody in the clubhouse is getting along. You know, everybody's pulling for each other to do well, you know, pushing each other, holding each other accountable for things. So, you know, I mean, it's just good vibes going along and just playing well with it.
You know, Shed, I have watched and been an admirer of your swag, your accessories that you put on. I mean, it's incredible. Is there anything that you wish that you could add that you're afraid that you couldn't pull off, or are there certain things that you have to stay away from? Because I'm serious, this is a serious question. Because, you know, look, for athletes, Stacey, you laugh, but you feel good, you play good. You got to look good to play good.
For sure. No, I mean, I think I can pull off anything. anything I want to pull off, but I mean, pretty much the way that I want to go about it is the way I'm going about it now.
Who has the best fashion in the clubhouse? Like, who has the most, I don't even want to say swag, like, who's just really pulling off their look in the clubhouse the most?
I mean, other than me?
Other than you, obviously.
We got to go... my boy Kyle Seager. We always talk to him about his swag.
What?
Really?
He's got the dad swag.
Yes. That's, stop. Okay,
no,
that's what I was going with.
No,
his swag is just being so basic, and he just pulls it off to the fullest. Like, it's just amazing to me.
Do you think that he's tempted to go out there and suit up with like cargo shorts and like socks and sandals? Like, how close do you think he is to being like, I'm not even going to wear the uniform. I'm just going to wear what I wore to work today.
Nah, he ain't gonna do that.
Okay.
He's
so
he gonna
basic.
Do that, but dude's just like, it's plain to the fullest.
Shed, have you seen the clip of Ryan Fitzpatrick from the when he was with the Bucks and he went to the press conference with DeSean Jackson's get up on?
Yeah, I remember.
You guys should do that with Kyle Seager.
Like an outfit swap.
you should give him an outfit to wear to one of his post-game press conferences. That would be phenomenal.
Well, we had a little bet going, but the game wound up not happening because he's a North Carolina guy, and I'm an Auburn guy, and we had a bet going for the North Carolina-Auburn football game that was supposed to happen this past year. And the bet was if Auburn lost, I had to give him my chain, and he was going to wear it every game. But if Auburn won, then he was going to buy me another one.
That's a great bet. It's because really you win either way. You need to find a way to bring this bet back, Shed, because I need to see. Well, now I'm going to be looking at Kyle Seager differently. Like, I thought you were going to say JP or maybe Justin Dunn. He's got a great shoe collection.
I mean, JP's swag speaks for itself. We don't have to even talk about it.
Exactly.
That.
He doesn't need credit for it. Kyle is under.
This big moment, this grand slam. You guys sweep the Tampa Bay Rays, which is, you know, the arguably the best team in baseball. But you do it on Father's Day. I mean, big, huge moment. What did that mean for you and your dad that was watching?
Oh, man, it was great. You know, it was great just being able to do that for him. I talked to my mom, and she just said he was so happy, couldn't stop smiling. It looked like he was going to be in tears, and everybody was calling him. So it was a great moment for me, for my family, and for him for sure.
It was a perfect day. And I think, honestly, Shed, I think it made the day special for people that were there with their dads everywhere, right? Like, it was beautiful that you
for
guys
sure.
had that moment. And then even without knowing it, you were a part of a moment for other families, too. It was really cool to see. So we have to let you go, but we appreciate you taking the time. I cannot get over the comment about Kyle Seager. It's all I'm going to see now. Shed, please, please make this bet happen. We have to see it.
I'm going to try to get a chain on.
Okay,
just
good.
Just be on the lookout. We're
we
gonna
will.
Try.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
right.
Shed. Have
hey,
a
Shed,
good one.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No doubt. Y'all take care.
Can you imagine Kyle Seager? If you guys missed it, Shed Log Jr. just joining us right now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline said he had a bet going last year for a game that didn't end up happening between, what was it, North Carolina, Auburn?
Yes.
That that Kyle Seager would be wearing Shed's chains for every game. And then if Auburn won, he'd be buying Shed.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Shed got the best win out of the whole
That's
deal.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, what? How'd Kyle let this happen?
I know. Why would he bet that? I don't
Shed
know.
Shed won either way.
But it would be amazing to see. Well, I want to go one step further, not just with the chain, Stacey, but that he has to wear Shed Long's getup, all the accessories, everything for a game. That would be awesome.
Him describing Kyle Seager as his swag is that he's basic is how I want to be described.
That's from the team.
I feel him so much.
I felt it in
like
my soul.
Like dad energy all the way through. Right. Am I right, Curtis?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Shed Long, an amazing interview. We've had some really awesome guests today. Thank you to everyone who joined us, to Shannon, to Shed, to JT, and to Gary and Mike for joining us earlier today. What I Need to Know is coming your way next. You guys already know how it works. Send in your questions to the Mac and Jack's text line 710-710. That is coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. What I Need to Know from the 206. Curtis and Stacey, have we seen Kyle Seager and Jake Heaps in the same place at the same time? I'm starting to believe they're the same person. It's from Christian.
Fair point.
You know what? I have not. Now it's all coming together.
Okay. Dad energy, yes. Style doesn't sound like we have the same style. Because it sounds like, hold on, have I ever come in with cargo shorts? Have I ever come in with
You're wearing basketball shorts right now.
Bootcut jeans? No, I have not.
Okay.
All right. I take offense.
Doesn't mean he won't.
It doesn't. Yeah, I haven't ruled it out. It feels like it's in your tool belt.
Okay, give me 5 years and we'll see where we're at.
What I Need to Know. Ooh, from the 509. Any advice on asking someone out in person?
Ooh.
Okay.
Approach it confidently.
Yeah, approach confidently, or you could throw it back to the middle school days, slip them a note.
No.
Do you think
creepy?
I'm cute? Check yes.
No, stop,
check
no.
First
That's
of all.
Right. Will you go out with
no.
me? Check yes or check no. I mean,
no.
It gets straight to the point. You only got one of two answers.
I like this person, though, asking the person out in face-to-face.
Yes.
That is something that is a lost art in today's world because so much of the dating scene has moved to apps.
Yes.
I commend anybody that is going to ask somebody out face-to-face. It's tough.
Fully agree.
The important thing, I think you go up. Here's what I would do. I would not write a note. You weirdo. I would go up.
I'm just saying, you know, you could throw it back.
I would say, just ask them, hey, would you want to, like, I don't know, go to a game, go to a, grab a drink, go grab a movie, whatever it is. I don't know what you can do
in COVID
now. Hopefully
they're pulling this off a little smoother than what you are right
now. I don't
know.
Maybe it could be charming if you were stumbling all over yourself. Maybe they'll be flattered. And here's the thing. If this person says no, it doesn't reflect on you at all because it
Keep
takes guts. No, listen, it takes guts to go up and ask someone out. And matter what, if you do this, you should be proud of yourself that you went up and you put yourself out there for someone that you were, that you thought you had something with.
This is like the same conversation I'm having with my 5-year-old at the playground. Go up and introduce yourself. Introduce yourself to friends. What's the worst thing that they can say? No? And guess what? You could try again.
Yeah.
You can find somebody else. So, you know, hey, same 5-year-old playground conversations can work well in terms of translating to the dating scene. Go for it.
Now, Texter.
What's the worst that could happen?
Texter, I want you to know that some people are texting in date ideas now. 425 says coffee. So consider that one.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know.
This
I just feel like
added,
that's, I'm trying not to act too forward, so I'm just going to go for, can we grab a cup of coffee? Like, no, let's go out on a date. Like, take them out on a date. That's fun.
I would say I would not love to be asked to coffee. I understand.
Coffee
what,
is
I understand
the
it. I
least
just don't
attachment
want to do that.
For a date.
Like,
100%.
The least amount of risk.
And it's got to be one of the most awkward because you are forced to sit there and legit have a conversation. You need to do something that gives you a little bit of activity so there's not as much pressure to generate conversation and build a moment together.
Here's what you
okay?
need to do.
That's what you need to
if
do.
If you guys are both sports fans, hey, you want to go watch the, I don't know, Eastern Conference Finals or Western Conference Finals at like a bar?
At a bar
or,
yeah,
exactly. Something like that would be, I think, perfect. That's the approach that I would take.
Okay.
I'm just saying. This person adds that they are coworkers and he thinks that she knows that he likes her.
Okay, so, that could be dangerous. I mean, do
be.
We really
or
know?
You could be like me and end up marrying a coworker.
Oh,
ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could.
All right. Let's see what else we... Someone said zoo aquarium. Now the text line is just people sending in ideas for them to go on their
date. I like this one, 425.
Okay.
What's the longest time you have, quote-unquote, roughed it on a camping trip?
I've never. I don't like camping. I've
how never about
been camping.
The 45 minutes that my wife and I watch Alone, the show?
Oh,
new seasons come
that
out
counts
on Netflix.
That counts.
We watched the first episode. Oh my gosh, it's so good. But that is my form of roughing
There's
it. I am
one?
Experiencing it visually through somebody else's eyes. I never roughed it.
Is there a new season?
Well,
yes,
Alone there is a new
is
season.
Fantastic.
There's a new season. Season 7 is out on Netflix.
Yeah, Curtis, do you ever go camping?
I've gone camping twice. Longest I've ever gone camping, I think it was like 3 days, which that was about 2 days too.
Actually,
disgusting.
Not true. Now that I'm thinking about it, there was a through church a youth activity that we did a week where basically we tried to simulate going across the plains like the pioneers and for a week.
Holy cow!
It was.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Never mind. Yes, I have roughed it for a week, and it was
did you guys, like,
quite the
trap
experience.
Bears and did you
know it wasn't quite as intense as that, but you only got to bring deodorant. You didn't get to really bring a toothbrush, toothpaste,
oh
like recreate the whole experience. It was insane.
That's when I would realize that I would have been one of the people that died. Like, that's when you realize that, like, on the Oregon
Give
Trail or whatever
like,
it is.
We had to do we had to do the whole push cart, the whole push
it.
Cart thing and everything. It was crazy.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you to all of our amazing guests for today. He is Jake Heaps. Curtis Rogers is here. I'm Stacey Ross. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Don't go anywhere, though. Wyman and Bob heading your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.